talk about the public health threat that's presented by HPV vaccine, and then how Medicaid has responded to that threat to increase access to a breakthrough medication for low-income women. So what is HPV infection? What has it done to all of us? It's the most common sexually transmitted infection in the U.S. The highest prevalence exists among young people ages 14 through 19. 20 million people are currently infected. Half of those are ages 15 through 24, just a 10-year age span. 6.2 million individuals become newly infected each year. That's boys and girls. And about three-quarters of those are ages 15 through 24. By age 50, most women will have acquired genital HPV infection at one time during their lives. The transmission of HPV infection, human papillomavirus infection, is through sexual contact. Intercourse is not required. Condoms, use of condoms does reduce risk. And the predictor of infection is the number of sex partners, lifetime or recent. There are non-sexual routes to transmitting HPV as well. From the mother to the fetus or newborn, the newborn will develop a recurrent respiratory papillomatosis, RRP. HPV type 6 or 11 causes 100% of RRP. The link between HPV infection and cervical cancer occurs now. There are over 100 types of HPV. 6 and 11 causes most of the genital warts. 16 and 18 causes 70% of the cervical cancer. It is the persistent and invasive infection with 16 and 18 that causes most of the cervical cancers in the U.S. And these are 2003 numbers here. You see that the incidence is 9,700 cases during this time period. It's increased since then. And the median age of diagnosis is 47. Of the total deaths, 3,700. 85% of these deaths, however, occur in patients who have never had a Pap test. As you can see, the Latinas have the highest rate of incidence, and the mortality is highest among Black women. What has been the response to this public health threat? Well, we find that after the FDA licensed the vaccine in June of 2006, all vaccines have another layer of review, and that comes from the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices, ACIP. And they reviewed the vaccine, and they recommended the vaccine in the end of June 2006. Their recommendations were for girls ages 9 through, and then young women through the age of 26. Girls ages 9 through 11 should receive the vaccine with parental or their physician's permission. Girls ages 11 through 12 should have routine administration. And females ages 13 through 26 should have the vaccine as a catch-up procedure. There were other considerations, however, that ACIP also discussed. You must complete the entire series to realize a full benefit, series of three administrations. The optimal administration is before sexual debut, and sexually active females will fully benefit from the vaccination if they have not previously been infected with 6, 11, 16, or 18. Now, the ACIP creates the National Standard of Care. It's a very influential organization. They are a professional panel administered by the CDC. They convened a work group in February 2004 to review all the data. They looked at it for years beforehand. They provide recommendations to public health systems. And they develop a list of vaccines for the Vaccines for Children program. This is a program that purchases most of the vaccines in this country to be pediatric vaccines in this country to be administered to children free of charge throughout the country if they are eligible for the program. What do they consider when discussing this and looking at this vaccine? Well, it's safety, it's efficacy and duration of protection, its impact and cost effectiveness, its acceptability, and also sexual behavior in the U.S., specifically for this vaccine. They do not discuss that normally for other vaccines. So what happened then? you finance vaccine, how does Medicaid then convert these recommendations into actual practice? Medicaid does cover vaccines before HPV was recommended. They have different age groups, however, and the HPV vaccine sort of highlights the interesting divisions in the age groups and how Medicaid happens to handle vaccine administration based upon age. If you are a Medicaid beneficiary and you are age 0 through 18, Medicaid must cover all recommended vaccines. And the coverage standard is by ACIP. That's why I mentioned them. They're very, very important. Anything ACIP recommends must be covered for this age group, 0 through 18, by Medicaid. It's financed by the Vaccines for Children's Program. They purchase the vaccines and ship them to the states, and they are administered through that program. If you are 19 or 20, the coverage obligation under Medicaid is the same. They're required to cover that because Medicaid considers anyone 21 or under to be a child. The coverage standard, again, is ACIP. And the financing is through a designated match because each Medicaid program receives is funded by federal money or state money. And the federal government might contribute up to 70%, and therefore the state would have to pay for 30%. So when you think about the cost of HPV, you're talking about the state paying only 30% for the vaccines. If you're 21 and older and are a beneficiary of Medicaid, the coverage obligation is not required. It is optional. And the coverage standard is discretionary. So each individual state can choose the vaccines that they decide to cover. And the financing, however, would still be for the designated match. Now, this map shows what the coverage rate was for any kind of vaccine before HPV was recommended. And we can see that the coverage is very, very broad. Most of the states cover at least one vaccine. Some of them, however, will cover two vaccines. So it's just depends on how they choose to handle it. I think it's Virginia would cover flu maybe or something like that, and you might find flu or pneumococcal would be the two that many states would cover, all the way up to 8 or 9. Now this is a map that shows Medicaid coverage of HPV vaccine for adults. And you can find that in most, 27 states, the green states actually does have decided to go ahead and cover the vaccine. So it's not, and they cover it as part of their normal process, normal procedure. We heard all this extraordinary discussion and controversy around the mandates, but the Medicaid programs decided to go ahead, most of them decided to go ahead and cover it as part of their normal operating procedure. The white states, you see, do not cover it. It's 18 of them. And we just don't know about 6 of them yet. What were the factors influencing their decisions to cover HPV vaccine for their adult population? The number one that they talked about was the ACIP recommendation. Very, very important. Also, an elevated risk of cervical cancer among certain populations. The vaccine offers protection against cancer. That was very important. State and local health recommendations as well. Public attention to the vaccine. They had an interested legislative body or recommendation by a state health agency. However, some states have affirmatively decided not to cover the vaccine at all, and one of the first reasons is cost. Also, they chose to focus on individuals 21 and under. They felt, some states felt, there's a lack of clear demand from state and local health professionals, lack of public focus, lack of recommendation from a state health agency, or lack of interest from their governor. And some states are waiting for long-term data on the use of the vaccine. Now, a few states who have decided not to cover the vaccine have actually told us why. And you can see that Alaska says that their state is prohibited by regulations. They don't cover any vaccines at all. Texas said that they wanted to focus on girls rather than women. In Florida, there was no interest from their governor, and also the vaccines were not currently covered through physician services. And in South Carolina, their primary concern was cost. They wanted to focus on girls rather than women, and they felt there was no clear demand from state and local health professionals. And in Virginia, we just don't know what their reasons are. This is a table that shows you options for how adult vaccine coverage can and payment can be conducted under Medicaid. And you have a service category of outpatient hospital, which is a bundled service. And Medicaid programs are required to cover, to offer outpatient services. And coverage for this HPV vaccine is possible under outpatient hospital services. They could be covered at the preventative service subclass when furnished in hospital outpatient settings. The second one is family planning and supplies. It's undefined bundled service. It's also required. Coverage is possible there. Services must be defined and sufficient in amount, duration, and scope to reasonably achieve their purpose. So it's possible there. The next service category is pregnancy-related services, and that's also required. All Medicaid programs must offer pregnancy-related services. It's covered there if it's considered part of pregnancy-related care. And then you have your rural health centers and your FQHCs, bundled services, which are also required. Coverage is not possible here, however. And if you were going to cover it, it would have to be included in under their state plan. Clinic services are an optional service. Coverage is possible there. And preventative services are optional as well. And coverage here is highly possible, and it's really the most applicable approach for a broad range of settings. So in summary, the best options that we believe for Medicaid coverage of HPV vaccine for adults is under this preventative service option here. And again, it's an optional service. It ensures coverage in all legal settings and by all legally empowered professionals, because some states would allow pharmacists, for example, to administer vaccines, not just physicians. And again, in any permissible healthcare settings, you know, many people receive vaccines in settings other than healthcare. And the other best option we thought would be the family planning clinic or hospital outpatient services. The vaccination could be a targeted covered service. The vaccine is already included. If it's included in a family planning, a pregnancy-related treatment protocol, then it could become a mandatory service. And the legal permissibility of this requirement has yet to be tested in court. So we're just not sure yet. Thank you.